November.
On our plat, Corps of Engineers.
They'll have no fisheries.
Andy Trailer, Monaville.
Andy's our biologist here at Monaville, based down in Lunch. I'm Ben Housen, bio here at Monaville.
Craig Moody, Wallawalla.
Jeff Alstorf.
Tim Dykstra, Wallawalla.
David Wells, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Gary Fredericks, no fisheries.
Tammy Mackey, Corps.
Eric Wolkin, BPA.
Jason Sweet, BPA.
Scott Benton, BPA.
Bob Cordy, Corps.
Dallas.
Dean?
Dean Ballinger, PSMFC.
Rick Martinson, PSMFC, Fish and Wildlife.
Ray Colchuk, PSMFC.
Sean Tackley, Corps, Portland.
Miguel Zendel, John Bay.
Robert Stassel, Corps.
Chris Penny, Corps, Wallawalla.
Excellent. Well, thanks for everybody coming down here. So, I guess we should have them out here more often. Yes or no? Okay, once again, Bagel's there. Tammy's got some snacks. She's circulating. Help yourself. And thank you, Tammy, for making such a wonderful treat.
You're welcome.
My birthday carrot cake. All right, let's get ready to
some fish.
Anything to add to the agenda?
Yes.
3.9, we could create an update on Dvorak.
That's the one I was going to add.
Can we put that in? Okay. Now, do you want it here?
Yeah, I'd like a little, maybe a little more than an update, but to talk about the process forward relative to what we've done in the past with these sort of incidents. So,
okay. Anybody else? We put under 3.6 PN-E issues, but we're going to change that to like research program updates in case that needs to, if there's anything that needs to be brought to your attention upon. So, we just put PME, and that's kind of Portland District. We'll just make it research federally. All righty. Any issues with October?
Actually,
more minutes?
Yes, one more year at least, and we need to get the transport COP done, at least as done as we can. So that's concerned about that, but the research will go on probably for another year, and we would like to review at that time what, you know, what it's telling us, which is pretty much that late season transport works pretty well for those fish, but is it worth the gas, diesel, and work, money, and everything else for the number of fish we're moving? So, you know, I don't know that it really is. But we do have another, probably another year yet of research. So keep it for another year, and then we'll get that COP going, I hope, this year. I know Alex has been working on it.
Is there a PM for that?
Transport COP?
Yes, Alex.
Alex Coulter, and he's been working on with us and trying to set up with us.
The deadline for completion on that,
but it's we've missed lots of deadlines, so I wouldn't worry about that. It's more getting it started.
It was very quick.
Coming up quickly here.
All right.
As are the others.
Other jobs. 2.2 McNary slot, McNary slot summary.
I have a different agenda.
No, you guys all have the right agenda. Burns' agenda is a little bit
He's the only one that's wrong. That's a good way to take care of your box.
All right, that's 3.0.
3.0.
Sorry.
No.
I have an arrow here, but, you know, she says that what I
mean.
Where's the arrow?
Yeah.
2.0, whatever it is, slow flow spill. Tim, you're going to compile a list of items we'll get while early.
Yeah, so we'll get into this
later in, well, I guess we'll get into this just before the updates. This is the agenda item 7 that we'll move to the start of the updates. But essentially, when we get there, we have a two-page document attached to the agenda, kind of summarizing where at this stage we think we're going with our urban trip, so we can get some feedback on that. Also, a week and a half ago or so, I sent out the adult fish report, the U of I study. So I think that was the action item, was to send out what the plan of Erdic was, as well as the adult fish study. So that's been done, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes.
All right, thanks. Next one is Bob.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet. I couldn't find his email or phone number. So
cool. Yeah, that's weak.
You're looking for what?
The dog ate my computer.
Mesa's phone number?
Email or phone number.
I have it out in my car.
509-538-2299. Going to the directory.
Yeah, going to directory. Probably.
Email's mmesa@gs.gov. All right, make sure you do that.
I'll get rid of that.
Yes, pretty so.
Sockeye handwritten notes, follow all the draft in the middle, send to Idaho, provide comments on a proposal to drop the length and condition.
And that's the Dougie for the computer. Greg's going to work on this, but so we'll keep it as an action item for next month.
Has any discussion with us occurred?
Not in the past month.
Screens discussion, is this something
we're
going to talk about down?
There was a conference call
yesterday.
Oh, really?
I missed it.
There was a conference call 3 weeks ago that folks participated in,
right.
Yeah. As well as an additional conference call yesterday. I think the action here has already occurred and will be finalized at Fitterwick tomorrow, I believe.
Is that right?
We're going to be giving more information tomorrow at Fitterwick. There was a couple of things discussed, especially the cleaning bypass system at Fitterwick.
For cleaning it out, I heard Larry called me a little bit ago, and he's on his way here. He should be here. He's going to show up. So maybe postpone that until he gets here. But
okay.
Or we just handle it. Fitterwick's fine, too. If we have time.
That's an F-bomb point. Are you guys pointing on that, or is it planning?
It's kind of a hybrid because we're replacing the screens, which is an F-palm issue, but we're framing up a study to determine what the future configuration can look like. So it's a blending. So really, the Fitterwick discussion is to really frame up the study.
Yeah, I think the F-palm discussion was to talk about cleaning out or at least seeing if there's any debris in the old fingerling bypass system. I think that is an F-palm.
That is exactly what went on yesterday during the telephone call. We talked about cleaning out the little fingerling glasses, 25 pipe and 60
right.
Pipe along the site there, where we go into the 22 and the 30 inch pipe, and we're going to back flush those this winter,
right.
Ladders down, and see what's in those pipes, or probably plug it up.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's.
The collection box is downstream of the first weir.
I don't really see any coordination. I mean, if it's during the winter, are we even using that stuff in the winter? I mean, is there a flow going through? There is for the ladder.
Well, it would be.
Not for the irrigation.
There's still water that would be going down to the lower diffusers
right.
For adult extraction.
And so, is that what ladders will that ladder be under maintenance at the time? It's just coordination, you know. If you have to take some of the water out of the system or whatever, I mean, that's if it affects anything that would put it out of sorts with the fish passage plan, then you want to coordinate.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely. Well, I think we'll clean up the research study into that after the tomorrow.
Right. No, that's, I'm not talking about that. Just the maintenance aspect of it. If you need to coordinate that, that's. this would be the place for it.
Yeah.
We intend to take the system out. We don't. We reduce the amount of the auxiliary water supply to the ladder, and that ladder is running at the time. It's our only ladder that's running at the time, and we'd want to have a discussion. The ladder is out of service anyway. Don't care.
That's what we intend on doing the first month. Before the short ladder, that's what we intend on doing.
It's out of alpha maintenance.
Yeah.
And that's the time you do it.
And that's what we plan on doing.
Okay. End of story.
It's really hard to understand people.
It is really hard to understand people.
So, yes.
Reverberations.
That I can do that. I repeat that whole thing as well.
See, I don't know if that really helps, because the louder you talk, the more echo there is.
Okay, so we can move on.
Yeah. Headphones.
Bonneville SA 24 board. Any idea on the cost of Mr. Housman?
70K. Ballpark.
How much?
70.
70K. Can you execute that this year?
If they had it.
Not in time. They need it like now to get in there.
A good part of it can be done during season when we're other men running wire, conduit, all that sort of thing without landing them. But if we want it all done, it has to be quick.
Sean, are you aware of this? I see I was supposed to coordinate with you on having included the preliminary work.
Right, but since that's not moving forward, someone's going to do this.
Maybe in 2 years?
Yeah, 2013 would be our next.
We don't make it.
So I apologize. You need to explain to me again what this SA24 board is.
It's the board of Powerhouse 2 that basically is a lot of gates and everything operated in auto.
Okay.
It's a mess, I guess, electrically.
Okay.
I couldn't give you the details of the electrical issue.
Yeah, I remember the discussion now. I just couldn't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, so in the meantime, everything's in manual and it's just right. Not.
Yeah, I don't want to see this wait until for 2 years.
Mm-mm.
Until there's some lamprey money somehow to fund it.
It's getting approached as a small cap.
Mm-hmm.
I threw that out there for you.
Yeah, no, I'm just waiting to see what the end result is here. But
this is just one.
One option.
One option, yeah.
Right.
Try and do this a small cap purchase as well.
Yeah.
Which is, they're right on the scope currently. So.
Okay. See how that goes. Yeah. Okay.
Any other comments? Questions?
FFE 1
pager.
Lamprey slots.
Lamprey slots. Lamprey slots is being, that will be covered under 3.1.
Everything okay. Else will be discussed later in the agenda.
Okay. Move on.
Yes.
Good. So I can jump to 3 now.
You yep. Can.
And we're going to move up. Sorry.
Yeah. Sean, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And Chris is here. The purpose of this is to talk about what we're going to accomplish down at Erdick at the last full week of January. So it's about page 7 in your agenda packet is a 2-page document with an agenda kind of outlining what we plan to accomplish. And so, Chris, do you want to, I guess we'll just start with you. If you want to walk us through your thought process on this.
Basically, what we've seen in the field since the last modeling work is not quite what was seen in the model before. And then we've seen some new conditions there as well. So we're going to start off by running some of the old, the actual observations that blocked the adult fish. It did block the adult fish in 2009, 2008, and even go back, there's an add to this, in 2007 there was fish blocked when the turbine unit 1 was on and off. Well, They weren't blocked when turbine unit one was on, but they were blocked when turbine unit one was off. And so we're going to run those scenarios to start off, to calibrate everybody's minds, visuals, or whatever, what the model's producing, and then bring in, you know, what actually happened and the adult conversions or whatever, when they were blocked, when they were not blocked. And then from there, that'll take close to day one. Day one is just travel. That'll take close to the day one while we're there at ERDAC, which would be day two of the week. Day three of the week, day two while we're there, we can get about 8 to 10 runs per day if we work pretty good to demonstrate. Sean and I, and I'm not sure if anybody else is going to accompany us, are going to go down the week before, do extra runs, pick out some of the demo to run and discuss with the whole group is there.
And just
second week.
One thing to add. So the first day, so Tuesday down at Berwick, a couple of years ago, we spent a lot of time looking at different conditions, and one of the ranking criteria that we had was what we thought was good adult pastures conditions. And for that, we really talked a lot about this connectivity concept. And so in our minds, one of the key characteristics that we were ranking and tracking was connectivity of just a flow to the main powerhouse entrance to the Arrow Fishway. And so, but with new information, you know, from this past year when we knew we were delaying adults compared to those conditions where we were not delaying adults, we can kind of train our eye, hopefully, on what's the key difference, what's going to jump out at us. And that's kind of one of the big unknowns right now is, can we look and see some clear differences between, from an adult standpoint, of when we run an operation where that we knew was delaying adults compared to one that we knew was not delaying adults, and just what kind of things can we learn just from comparing those different operations. So that's going to be the bulk of Tuesday, is just making sure we all get on the same page of and really retraining their eyes from what we were down there last time. We clearly were off base on some things as far as the importance of adult passage and what would lead to good conditions for adult and those things that would lead to poor adult passage conditions. So the first day is largely to train our eye on what would look good.
Now, I want to say something here. There are different opinions on it. I have a different spin on what you both have said, and I just want to get out of here for education purposes. I know I made compromises that if I would have wanted to have it perfect for adults, I wouldn't have put in an RSW at there, and I probably wouldn't be spilling 30% during the daytime.
Right.
So I didn't see that there were eddies created by having an RSW, having spill on day one, having spilled 30% during the daytime. There were eddies created. So it wasn't that we weren't taking a risk. We were taking a risk. It was a balance between what we thought would be real good for juveniles and what we thought that adults could put up with. And we didn't block adults. We delayed adults during particular river flows.
Yeah.
It wasn't a block, it was a delay. This is my opinion of things, and I think to educate the group, you gotta see all the sides here. And I don't think that, also you said that you notice a difference between the model and the real project. I don't see the difference. I have not seen the difference between those two. I've been to both many times. And the model, to me, reflects what's going on in the project, too. And reflects what's happening to adults, too. It's our sensitivity, at least mine, needs to be readjusted to where I put more weight on those eddies, and I guess a little less weight on juvenile passage, on perfection of juvenile passage. So, okay.
Yeah, no.
That's my steel preach for this. Gary,
I think based on, this is Sean, based on, you know, the adult study data, perhaps what we need to look at in this upcoming trip is a little more attention on the North Powerhouse and North Shore entrances, as well as the South Shore entrance for adults, and look at conditions at those entrances. I mean, we looked at them previously, we didn't just ignore them, but we focused most of our attention on the South Shore entrances, and perhaps as we look at the replications of field data from, actually we have data from 2005, 2007, and then a couple of cases in 2010, where we have significant, you know, where we change operations significantly from one day to the next and have large jumps in adult passage, we can hopefully identify the mechanisms at different entrances and all through the tail rates that might contribute to that.
Yeah. And I'd really encourage folks to review that adult passage study that I sent out a week and a half ago. Just because one thing that jumps out to me after reviewing that again is that north, especially the north spillway entrance, does seem to be really important. And I think that's one thing that we maybe, not that we missed it on our last trip down to Riddick, but maybe we de-emphasized the importance of that entrance. So something to be aware of when we go back.
Yeah, the majority of the adults are coming up that North Shore and not entering that North Shore entrance under the bulk spill, but also the alternate spill, which is basically the compromise type spill. Although back then it was basically modeled without an RSW. So yeah, there is definitely, the bulk is better for juveniles, uniform is better for adults. We got that pretty clear. Now what's the balance? Well, what was picked is basically the alternate spill. And so I think we've learned some stuff that, you know, how to adjust that alternate pattern with the RSW, either in high or low. The problem is that the operation has changed so much from what the models actually produce. You have to put several model runs together to get exactly what the operation was. Because we did make some changes in season, you know, the fish practice plan said, well, it should be in high, but we're going to start with low, and vice versa. So, I mean, that's kind of going to be Wednesday where we start, you know, looking at those situations, how to best compromise again for junior and adult.
Really, the bottom line for this discussion here today is you need to review this one pager and see what the straw man is for what we intend to accomplish down at Riddick. And if you like it, great. We look forward to you coming along and working on this.
If you don't like it, stay home.
If you don't like it, give us some feedback so we can capture what you believe is important.
What do you hope to have at the end of the week? What's a successful week going to look like?
I think a successful week could be where we can agree on what the fish passage plan, what the configuration should look like for 2011.
Is it possible that we can develop a test strategy we want to implement in season, have different conditions at a certain flow to see if it proves out a difference, and then wrap that into our FOP or wherever we need to have the flexibility to run a test in season? Just to make sure the model is reflecting what's happening in the real world.
Basically, what we have proposed is, you know, do 20% spill runs, 40% spill runs. Most of them now are around 30%. Some of the actual operations, we did make a change from all the way 1 year from about 2005, I think from 60% down to 40%, yet adults pass. Okay, so what we're looking at is maybe a day-night, you know, day for adults, night for juvenile, and coming up with some kind of operation like that. Another combination.
Right, but do we want to use the actual dam as a test?
Are you talking about pre-season, looking at hydraulics in the prototype?
I think in mid-season when you actually have the fish there.
Are you talking about a fish test?
Yeah. To see what
basically a repeat of the 2008 adult study.
Using radio tanks or just using pin count?
Realize that we don't have a radio tank study planned for...
Just use ladder counts. To see if we're missing some gross error.
Right, you could do that.
One of the problems with Jepson's et al. 2008 study was they didn't think that you held the condition of the treatment long enough. They were getting some highly durable high error bounds on some of the passage indices that didn't quite make sense. And they thought because in one, you were getting a fish in the ladder, then you switched, and the fish actually went up the ladder, and that influenced the outcome of the data. So, you know, they did two-day blocks. You know, this last year, that was mentioned as well, was did you hold the uniform skills at the TSW long enough for just a day or 2 days, or should you have held that for 3 days and evolved faster? You know, so if you do treatments, that's a consideration.
Would you do treatments, though, or just check to see if you come up with your preferred alternative, you run it, you look at the ladder counts. If you see a problem, then you've got something to think about. But if you're going to do a treatment test, then you're going to want to do hydraulic evaluation on that, too. Otherwise, you're just going to be left wondering what happened again.
I'm just trying to think of ways we can do it on the fly-ish. You know, other than we got a block.
I think it wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't watch the numbers. I mean, I'm sure Bill's going to be watching the numbers. And
right, but if we have a steady flow for like a week, do we want to do two different settings and see if we can see a difference?
I mean, it's, I don't think you're going to notice that in ladder count today very quickly, because in 2008, for instance, you know, when we did 2 day blocks, you know, and we had some, what we thought would be some deliberately, where we set up some conditions that would induce a strong eddy, and therefore we thought that would be, you know, poor adult passage conditions. And in their testing protocol, they're able to identify that, yeah, that has more delay than the other types of either the quote good bulk or the uniform pattern. But looking at ladder count, you know, it doesn't show any of that really.
Do we have a delay target where more than 4 days and unacceptable or six or two or?
Please.
Because that's something you might want to factor in your deliberations as to.
Your delay should be similar to what other projects are.
Scott, I think the way I'm going to approach it is that we're going to find an operation that does not delay adults.
Yeah.
Period.
Yep.
And we're going to have to sacrifice our juvenile passage. We're going to have to. It's not going to be as good as it has been. But we've got a real, performance-wise, juvenile passage, I think a goose is like 99%.
It's very, very high.
So we're going to err this side on the side of adults.
Yeah.
We're not going to allow. We're going to either have a hoist in there where we can go in 2 hours, go to a uniform skill program, shut the RSW, or we're going to have, if that hoist isn't ready by next spring, we're going to have a spill pattern that is going to go, like I said, it's going to go down maybe 20% during daytime, which you will like, right? Yeah, you'll get it's going to be less expensive for Montevideo. It's going to go down 20% or something that no longer do you have these critical eddies in that tailpiece. So I don't want to all these calls and all these fishermen and all this hassle to happen next spring. It is not going to happen. We are going to have a pattern where adults are going to get by there and they're not going to be caught by fishermen.
Are we contemplating a period of zero spill for a couple hours? Would that be a benefit?
The uniform pattern works, Guy. If you just follow the data over the last 3 years, it's obvious the uniform pattern works for adults. The data.
So what's the chance of always being in this year?
Well,
not good.
Do you have an update on that, Sean?
No, just from the. But I don't think that. The last I heard, I don't think that been teed up to really be. I don't think that you can get it designed and contracted and built between now and the fish.
I think we should. Last I checked into that was like 2.5 weeks ago, and it was unclear whether it was going to be in to start the year. It seemed like there was some hope that we could have it in maybe a month into the spill season. But I really shouldn't say much more because I don't know. I need to double check with Kevin. But certainly before our Urdic trip, we should have a really good picture of whether that weir is going to be in.
We've got to assume it's not going to
right.
be.
Right. You have to assume it's
we're
not
going
to
assume it's not going to be. Yeah. We're going to shut the RSW during the daytime, or we're going to go down to 20% spill during the daytime. We're going to compromise.
Yeah, you'll have to make that as your first choice. Right. And then if it comes in later and you can use it, then you would have an option for that.
But look at, yeah. Won't you look at both of them? Because this year we probably won't have it, sounds like. But in the future years we will. And so you want to establish what the two
are. Yeah, I would do both, you know, but you have to do both. You have to do both.
Okay.
So I guess the main point here is that I want people to understand what we're going down there to accomplish, and that's written down here. If you have concerns with it, then let us know that. I'd like to have this wrapped up soon, just so that that when Sean is communicating with folks down at Urdic, that we're able to make sure that we're getting folks' input involved, incorporated into what we're doing and where we're going. And so, I really, Sean, for you, our next FCOM is scheduled December 9. If we have this nailed down December 9, does that date work for you?
I mean, that
second Thursday of the month.
Will you be filming it at all?
What's that?
Will you be filming it at all? For those that can't go, is there going to be any
video?
No. No.
Okay. I don't know about film, but we always
it takes a lot of extra
draw the low patterns on the short thing pictures of it. That's kind of our general observation of what the flow patterns look like along with any notes and observations. We write those all on a whiteboard and take pictures of them. And that has, on that same whiteboard, it has all of the configuration data, you know, what the flow rate, total flow rate is, and distribution between spill and power and all
that. That works pretty good.
Yeah. I was thinking for an update of the future FCOM, when you guys come back with the information, how do you share?
Yeah, that's how you do it.
The thing works okay, snapshots. Tim. I'm going to be able to have a call the first part of that week, but I'll be back the evening of the 8th until the 9th part. Sorry.
So I don't want to take up more time here today than we have to. Certainly, if there's something that you have on your mind that you know you want incorporated in this, into this, you can share it now. You can also take this home, look it over, and come back prepared to get this finalized, nailed down, so that when we leave that home on the 9th, everyone's in agreement with where we're going with that.
Comments to you? I can just throw out a couple of ideas here.
Yeah.
As I start creating, I'm just going to start creating a working table showing a whole bunch of different potential configurations to look at. And, you know, primarily that'll be for Chris and maybe looking at our working visit the week prior. We'll work through probably more cases than we will during the demonstration version, because we'll have more time. You know, we'll have several days more to work down there than will be available during the demonstration. But where I'm thinking I'm going to focus my efforts primarily is initially, like you were saying, started with looking at the known field cases, historical cases, you might say, from 05, 07, this last year, to try and recalibrate our eyeballs, so to speak. But then our observations seem to be that where we're really seeming to block fish the most is in this kind of low to medium river discharge, you know, say in the 40s up through maybe the 60s, something like that, 60, 70, 40 to 70 is something like that. So I think that's one area where we probably will focus more of our attention rather than the ultra-low or the higher discharge. Mm-hmm. And then we can look, you know, and then the other thing, dials we have to tweak, of course, are ESW, either on or off, and if it's on, is it in the high or low crest position, you know, configuration. And then powerhouse configuration, you know, how do we configure never paid too much attention to those in the past because we were always bumped up against a hard constraint for 30%. That's something we can consider now, perhaps. So those are the kind of areas where I'm going to focus. And I just wanted to throw that out there because if somebody has different ideas and things that we want to look at it besides that, let me know so that I can work up some test configurations to that effect.
Okay. Well, I think you can narrow it down, Sean. This is Bill. Yeah, I don't think you need to have the TSW low. That's the high spill condition. I don't even think we need to look at that.
I agree, Bill. I mean, at the discharges we're looking at, like I say, at the range from, say, 40 to 78, something like that, mm-hmm. I think it's a non-starter to even really be looking at the TSW in the low press condition.
Okay.
I mean, the only reason why we would even think of that is in some years, you know, up till this year, our plan was to start the season in that configuration. You know, but we've changed that now to where we, you know, we did that to sort of try and minimize the number of press changes we had to do. But this last year when we started the season at such a low discharge, we changed it and started with a high press. But I agree though, we can certainly streamline with based on things we've already done. I mean, there are cases we already know look bad, so yeah. We don't have to replow background really. Yeah.
Our survival test though is mostly in the low position.
What's that?
Our survival tests were mostly in the low position though. So it may change the survival. But I agree. Go with the high and see what if you did use the low in that high, what's the difference might be.
Was there a difference in the direct injury test between high and low?
Was there a difference? We don't have a lot of survival data in the high crab, because that's all we come later in the summertime.
Yeah. So,
and I think you probably said this, is concentrate on maybe three flow levels, one at 90, one at 50, and one at 35, something like that. He says there's no problem above, certainly above 90, and then we have seen a problem as you get down to very low flows, too.
Well, during our working visit, though, I think we'll probably try and parse it down even finer than that, and then based on those observations, we'll try to show the most illustrative configuration for the tips for the agency rest of there.
Well, it'd be nice to get at this. Over the years, we've been trying to figure out whether this change, the difficulty occurs at anywhere from 60 to 90 river flows. It'd be nice to narrow that down a little bit.
Yeah, well, I just did a quick thing. For instance, in 2005, which was pre-TSW, but when we did kind of the surrogate hole study, and we flocked adults, and it was down in the 40s, about the end of June was when we really had a delay event where we changed it and went from 154 fish one day to 1,600 fish the next day. So anyway, we'll look at the data. And
I was thinking of the summertime. I was thinking of June and July.
Well, there's a point where you just turn it off too. On Wednesday on here, you see that inflow of 45 to 65 kcfs is what we can supposed to concentrate on. So that's what the data up to 90.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
After the data said that's where we made the switch.
Or 85.
And then 85 is what it is.
85 is where we run most of our tests in the past.
So what I would like to do is have, you all have this document electronically. If you can put your comments or proposed changes in, track changes, and just send it back to me, and I can make sure distributing it to folks so that we can really have this nailed down by the end of the next FPOM. But most of the legwork, most of the edits on it, I'd like to occur between now and before the next FPOM, so that when we bring this at FPOM, we can just say, okay, everyone's okay with this now. I've heard all the comments, incorporated them. Everyone's good. Check. We spend 3 minutes at next FPOM talking about it. That's the goal. So I'd like if folks, as you have some time to review it, give me those comments back and track changes. And
yeah, but Sean needs something to put into that table to really get a good perspective of what runs you're going to run. You know,
I can't hear what he's saying.
Well, this is Chris. I said you really need their input so you know when you develop your table of actually what you're going to run. If we can put that out relatively soon as well, would be a big one, December maybe.
Yeah, so I would say, yeah, have comments back to me. If we can mail them out by December 1.
I'll see you tomorrow in Walla Walla, Sean.
Yeah. We'll be in APOC in Portland on December 1, Tim.
Sorry, yeah,
APOC. Tim, do you anticipate us changing where we change from high to low crest to the flows?
Say that again.
Anticipate changing that that point where we change from high to low crest, and I would say likely we would.
So we should leave the fish passage plan sort of a placeholder, saying to be determined later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. One thing I want to have in front of us down at Irving is the language of the fish passage plan, so we can be thinking about exactly how we want the plan edited, revised for 2011. So I think that's a good one. I think there's a good chance that could change.
Tim?
Yeah.
Just if you could explain objectives 3 and 4 a little bit more clearly for me.
Chris? I think the point here, I was a little confused about the word assumptions too. Maybe you can just
maybe that's the wrong word. There is some talk about, you know, what you do, you don't want to affect, you know, the land rate as well. I don't think it's going to be a big deal, but a lot of what we think we know based on what we've done so far, different things for land rate, we don't really want to go past any of those types of operations.
Okay. I mean, so what you're saying here is you don't want to impact land rate.
You don't want to impact land rate. Well, you might take the impact. You may not know that you're impacting.
Right, but based on
minimize based on what you know,
okay.
That you might impact them.
I'm not sure.
So, I'm not sure if any of that.
I just the
Lamprey people. I
know it was clarification.
Thank you. Like that mentioned abroad.
So I guess we'll make the date. If you can give comments to me by close of business on that Friday after AFIP.
That's the 3rd.
So that'd be December 3, closing business. December 3 would be great. And we can present what everyone's comments are, present that here, and wrap it up next month. Sound good?
I'll be at APEC too, so if anybody wants to visit about it sometime during a break or whatever, that's fine too.
Okay. Thank you, Sean.
Okay. Signing off. See ya.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Has left the conference.
All right, let's get into updates. The first one is with Mary Lamprey Orifices.
Derek Fryer, are you on the phone?
I'm here.
All right. So Derek is going to provide an update on McNary Lamprey Orifices. Really, there's my understanding is there's three parts of this update. The first is just to summarize McNary Lamprey passage at those orifices. The second is to get folks' input on removing the plates and cable system that we have at McNary.
Do we need to go too far into this?
Comfortable saying take out the cables.
Do it.
Take it out.
Get them out of there.
Okay.
Done.
Great. Don't have to go any further than that.
Done. You had two questions. One was that, and the other one was, are you comfortable with taking this technology and expanding it to other sites? Not really. So we can talk more about that, and that's where we could get into more detailed review of this. But I assume, is this going to be presented, the results of this, at the AFAP review or anything like that? Or are you just going to talk about it here?
I don't know. Derek, was this going to be an AFAP?
Yes, we will have a presentation of this today.
Cool. So that's good. And we can talk about it.
Okay.
Are you proposing to cut offices elsewhere?
Ice Harbor.
Okay. That's the thing I'd like to talk about, because Lower Snake, then we have, it's still a sockeye issue for me. Not a lot of interaction, I realize, but there was some. So.
Well, that was one of my questions. How come we didn't have all the sockeye stuff?
There should be a sockeye summary in there.
I don't know.
And if there's not, it's because I must have...
I got fall Chinook, summer Chinook.
Steelhead.
There should be five.
Lamprey. Oh, that's another part.
Hey, Tim, this is Derek. I can't hear the other folks very well. You might have to relate.
Yeah, I can do that, Derek. I guess, can we just start with a three-minute summary of... past
dinner
hearing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I provided some one-page summaries for each species of run salmon that we monitored at the canary. Those have been distributed to FPOM, but I'm not sure if you have them in front of you or not. But the main one to look at is the sockeye summary. We didn't really see any interactions for spring or summer Chinook or steelhead or fall Chinook with these orifices. I think we saw maybe one, I'll have to go back and look, but I think it was maybe one Chinook we saw that came in front of the camera by the orifice, but it didn't attempt to pass. We had a few events of sockeye that were attempting to pass, and I think folks have seen those video shots at previous FPOM meetings. And there's a summary sheet there that if you've got it in front of you, take a look at it. Okay. That would be my main concern, is just folks are comfortable with that kind of interaction with sockeye.
I think what I would suggest doing is, one, for McNary, with all the fish we have there, I'm not so worried about it. From what we saw, as long as the designs are similar, so we'd have to review the designs. I would suggest in the Snake River, given that we're working with endangered stock and we have all the time and money invested in that, I would advise at least looking, watching interactions at Ice Harbor one more time, but not putting in the closure.
Not the cables?
No, none of that. We'll just watch through the season. You know, if all hell breaks loose, then we have an issue. We may have to have Sean out there with his cement blocks, but given what we've seen, I think the risk is low, but I think due diligence would require at least looking.
Okay.
So you recommend going ahead and putting them in?
Yeah, I recommend putting them in, I haven't seen whether they work. I'll wait for AFAP to see that, that side of it. I'm just talking about from a salmon standpoint. It didn't seem to be a problem. Sockeye showed the most interest. We're most interested in sockeye in the Snake River. I think we should at least look at it in the Snake River, but I wouldn't go so far as to put in all these cables and closure devices and all that stuff, and take the stuff out of the area and get rid of it.
Right. Derek, did you hear that?
No.
Okay.
This is a bad room for talking.
Bottom line is, folks really appreciated your summaries. That was helpful. And so we don't need any further discussion on what we saw at McNary, because any further information
from
you can get at
my perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
So at AFAP, folks will be interested to make sure they're up to speed on all the latest numbers. That was kind of part one. Part two is, and I'm wanting to confirm this with everyone, but take the cables out at McNary. At the closure gate cable system, I'm seeing head nods. Anyone have a concern with that? Okay. Everyone is on board then with taking out the cables in the closure system.
Okay, great.
And I think the third part is, were you planning, did you want to talk about Ice Harbor and proposed orifices?
Well, actually, for discussion topic for tomorrow's Fairway.
That's fine.
So we'll actually have pictures and a small presentation and some drawings and locations. We'll be able to better talk about it tomorrow.
Yes, okay. We'll hold off on that. I think the only thing to summarize for you that Gary just said was Gary is comfortable not putting those closure systems and cables in at any new orifices at Ice Harbor or other snake projects.
You run the risk, but I don't think it's a big risk.
But for not happening.
And Laura's agrees with that.
But what video monitoring I think is important. So.
But folks would like to, we can discuss further tomorrow if you're waiting, but potential looking at with continued video monitoring of new orifices at Ice Harbor.
You have to evaluate our Lamprey anyway, so that's.
So,
one thing to keep in mind is just real briefly, where we're talking about potentially putting these orifices at Ice Harbor is on the vertical slot barriers where there is the full duplex pit antennas. And then we've gone back and forth with some different ideas and designs in specific states. But the big concern there is making sure we don't interfere with the full duplex pit tag capability. So we will definitely have to get them involved if we're going to add video monitoring and equipment in and around those antennas. If in fact we do go forward and cut some orifices there, so more discussion on that. But we'll definitely have to work that out. In some cases, some of these cameras could potentially influence the full duplex pit tag detection efficiency. So.
Got it.
But more to come on that topic tomorrow.
Okay.
Derek, from my perspective, we can move on from this agenda item. Did you have anything else you needed to share before you pick up tomorrow?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Hey, anyone else have any questions?
Thanks, Derek.
Good. Hey, thanks, Derek. Look forward to seeing more tomorrow.
Okay, great.
Is tomorrow going to be a video conference web link? Or is it just phone?
Derek, are you still out?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is there a video link tomorrow for Fittery?
You're doing a web conference?
No, I don't think we've done anything else for that.
Okay. Well, if you could email me, I don't get to travel, so if you could email the handouts you're going to do for the meeting tomorrow to me, that'd be appreciated.
Sure, yeah, I can do that. Is that David?
Yeah.
David Wells, yeah.
And you know, Jim Roth, too. He's going to be on the phone, too.
Also, the Jim Roth, I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Also, any other questions for Derek?
Thanks.
Derek, feel free to stay on. Otherwise, you can, I think we're set to move on.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Next update is Fishfield Unit, Shad County, one pager. Anybody have comments? Gary?
Want to talk about
them? Talk to me. You're going to get help.
Are you looking at me? Help?
Make it worse.
I don't know. Give me another one. okay. I just was, I looked over the one pager. And it struck me that we could make some decisions here without, now first,
funding. Who's funding this? What year are we talking about? Since it's O&M funded?
FY11,
O&M. How much are we talking?
Not much. I mean, it's mainly going to be spare labor.
Because I'm
talking about the second person.
Yeah.
I left the conference.
I just was thinking that we could probably make the Shad decision now. I don't know that it really matters. I mean, if you were talking about going back and correcting past data, but that's not in there.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I saw that one. Last I heard, I didn't attend the last death call, but I assume there's no counting as.
Has anybody responded to the webpage? Your comment on there, John, of do we intend to quit? What do you think?
U of I responded.
U of I.
And then Fishman responded, a contestant Fishman.
A lot of them?
Just a dozen.
A dozen, okay. And they said, yeah, get rid of it? Okay, well, I'm not sure.
Their contributions?
Yeah, put a can out there on the thing.
What is U of I using it as counsel?
I'm not sure what you and I would use.
They're doing some shot
with used radio transmitter sort of thing, but right? What does that have to do with this council down?
Yeah,
that's what I'm calling.
Yeah. It was Chris Head. And I forget
exactly. Yeah, maybe we should talk to Chris if we get a chance. Yeah. But I would recommend, I mean, looking at this, what I would do is probably trim it down by saying, let's just make a decision on the DALs and move on. And a lot of those Ice Harbor and Lomo issues, you know, we know we have old video equipment that you can't really see anymore, it's falling apart. You know, the monitors are going bad or whatever, then why aren't we replacing that stuff after 20 years? That's just a question. And then if we have direct sunlight issues, why not shade it? Let's do it. You know, there's a few other things in here, too, that seem to me that rather than testing it, I would just do it. Now, I'm not saying that we would do the study, but some of these things I would just do and eliminate some of the variables before we put it into it. I know there's some issues with ice, with you know, low load counts being high.
That was the only reason we kind of proposed the test, because there has been that discrepancy.
That's worth looking into. You know, we don't have fifth tag detectors up there, so that's the only thing we have right now. So I understand that, but I guess I'd go through the process of eliminating some of these right off the bat.
I want to make this clear. If you can say that again about ice fibers, it's okay for us to cover that. Maybe shade.
Yeah, I wouldn't cover it, but shade it. Yeah, I mean, if you make it black, that's not good. But if you're shading it from direct sunlight, take that off of there. You know, we have shade over ladders in many places. I don't, you know, if it's shade cloth, you know, I wouldn't put a blue tarp over it.
Yeah, you know. I'm planning to put the just shake it off.
Yeah.
Take away the bright spots.
Yeah, I don't see
that
as a.
I
don't think that would be a problem.
Make sure, because there's no problems.
I guess what I would do is develop a bullet list of all the items you think are a problem, and let's just resolve them first. Because some of these seem pretty resolvable.
Yes, Steve.
I've been noting the square problem since 1995, and a little historic history here is, you know, once upon a time I proposed putting shade structures over the council lots, and you guys had some pushback on it.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah. And the Corps has done some of that, and most of the projects over the years they put in shade structures. Some projects did better jobs than others. Some projects have pretty much pulled their shade structures because they just got tired of working around them.
There's a difference between a taking, just killing the bright sunlight and putting shade over.
Yes.
So that's, you know, let me just make it clear, I'm not backing off on that.
Sure, I hear what you're saying, but keep in mind, when you put in a shade structure, so you reduce the direct ambient light coming in, you still have the count station lights illuminating that area, so it's not going to be a black hole that fish are swimming into. You're just controlling the light source from up above, and then from the side, just the side.
So you're agreeing with me.
100%.
It's for trying to get off.
It's ironic that a long time ago, you were really close.
Okay, well, I take it off. Now we're going to have a discussion. You got to learn when not to say things. No, I think that, again, what I, you know, a bullet list of items that I think need to be fixed to resolve the problem. And then let's talk about it. So, you know, what needs to be done? Because if the lights are too bright, which is another issue, or they're positioned in the wrong place, come on, guys. I mean, resolve it. Why are we having to study it to see if that's a problem?
You've got a unique condition where you know, you're looking at a monitor for the second ladder, correct? You've got one counter actually counting at two sites. So that's something that, again, might be contributing to this if you've got worse lighting conditions, et cetera, at some of these
The problem with putting a 50-inch plasma cover window that you're trying to see. Yeah, that's the problem.
But instead, it's just optimizing things, and they're saying
it's
reduce
error.
Hey,
Gary.
It just seems like there are some things.
A filter help at all on the camera.
What?
A Polaroid. No. That's a good point.
These windows, if you put a Polaroid lens on your camera, or even on your glasses, the lamination of the windows.
Oh, yeah.
Gives you the blotchy.
Blotchy colors.
I don't know if you have built in polarization on those laminates or not.
I'm just wondering, because sometimes it's where you can cut the light.
Yeah, that's how you get glare. Yeah, rig away the glare.
If I can just briefly revisit the. I did have a couple comments to Robert about. Just related to the shad counts, and one was that I think it makes a difference how people are counting them. There's different keys. There's multiple keys on the keyboard. They can count by 1, 5, 10, and 100. And one suggestion I had was to just get rid of the 100 key, because I think right there you have a lot of room for error. But also, just looking at this again, there's just one sentence in here about sample counts alongside the fish counter while only focusing on salmonids. So you'd almost need three people, because if you only had somebody counting shad and somebody counting salmon, then you wouldn't know how off you were if you had somebody counting both at the same time. So you'd almost need.
Right.
Okay. Just check.
Hopefully,
yeah.
We don't have to do that one.
That was. We're not
going to
count
shad at the balance. Yeah, I mean, I have to stop and think about. I look at these counts. I rarely look at the Dells counts, other than the side to side thing that we've done recently. But we're moving towards pit tags for most of our management. So Lomo and the Dells both are kind of like, well, okay. We can still look at some things, but careful. I'm kind of wondering if we need them at all, actually. Ice Harbor, yes. Bonneville, yes. But I'm beginning to wonder. Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder, we've used the counts for side-to-side counts, but I can still do that with pits, too. I just am a little old school, but we have new guys coming in who can do that, so. Technology is moving on. We're spending more time looking at pits, less time looking at window counts. And, I think we'll always need window counts at some of the dams, but whether we have to have every dam covered is a fair question in my mind.
So do we have an update on the pit counting and the ladders coming on the agenda?
For the Dallas.
Because once those are in, then you could contemplate getting rid of them.
Right. That for now we have to have, but down the road it may be, because that's the conversion, that's the buy-up, that's how we're measuring conversion rates of the pits, not with window counts. So it comes down to more fishermen or curious people, I think, or history, but management purposes. Of course, TAC, we have a different opinion of that, too.
So I'm hearing we need a summarized list of what needs to be done at each counting station as far as this study.
I think you can trim it down.
Then we can trim it down and then bring it back to FBOM on the 9th.
But it also, do you have money to do these things? Money to put shade cloth up? Do you have money to replace the monitors, money to...
I believe we've done a lot of replacement.
Change the lights.
But where are we at on that, John, as far as equipment goes?
We've got the cameras and monitors. But we'll have to run either a wireless thing across the dam or to stream that fiber line to connect them.
All right, so we'll have to come up with some kind of scope.
Yeah, I mean, if people want, it struck me as we knew there were some problems, rather than study it, I would just say, if you're after accurate counts, fix the problems. If we don't care about accurate counts, then I don't care about study.
All right,
floors. Thank you, say.
Did you get those in the notes, those comments? I'm going to stretch this out.
You're going to be talking to yourself.
All right.
We have to block it from the door.
Walla's cooling water strainer monthly updates on the website. Tammy's got controls of the website now.
Oh, because I haven't done anything with it. It's still dead.
Tim will talk about it.
So.
Yeah.
Monthly update.
Monthly update. Ice Harbor checked the cooling water strainers in mid-October. No lamprey. Lomo. Checked in early October and early November, no lamprey. Little Goose checked a couple different times throughout the month of October and found no lamprey. And Granite, October 14, checked cooling water strainers and found two lamprey. I guess the one thing of note at the two lamprey at Lower Granite, that were found in turbine unit 6, and turbine unit 6 had a total of 0 hours of runtime. So it's just giving more information that
you probably have all that squeezings from other lamprey that were in there.
Are those just random jets, or is there an indicator that causes them to even check it?
We mandated that Walla Walla District bios check them once a month. So they're not random, they're monthly. They used to be random and based on basically stuff clogging up the strainers. They get a certain differential across that and then check them. And so we decided to move away from that as the trigger and just to check them once a month.
So is that going to be a standard? Do we need to do that on all the dams, or what? And they're all a little different too.
Yeah.
And it's not just popping out a screen and not popping it back in.
It takes a crew to do it.
I think we're intensive and time consuming.
Yeah.
Well, that costs some money.
Okay, that's bigger than just
what it is.
There's an issue at John Day and
We don't really know.
And McNary, a number of folks, including Gary and Dave and others, were out in Big Town. I think we're out there at McNary to look at how they check strainers at McNary. And I think that gives the false sense that it's just super easy. Because, and at McNary, it is. It is really easy at McNary. And just the only thing that's difficult about it is just the number of strainers that are there. But, and this is what Heine talked to me last month.
My point, because we need tomorrow, the library task force meets tomorrow, and I'm sure someone will be asking the same question.
And what I committed to Bob and others at the Lamprey meeting was I will have a better understanding of why it takes so much effort, like at Lower Granite, to check these. Because I haven't been out to Lower Granite, and all I hear is folks saying, this is a huge project to check all the strainers. And so I can't do a good job of describing to you why it's so difficult. So I'm going to go there and figure it out so I can at least report out what the difficulty is. Because it's different than what folks saw at McNary. But I think the thought is, well, if it's just this easy and you have fewer units at you know, Snake River Projects, it should be a piece of cake.
Yeah, is there one strainer for each of those? Or are there multiple strainers for
multiple strings for you. So I'll have a better understanding of this, and I'll let people know what I learn when I go up to Granite. So I'll, but it won't happen. I'll report out either December or January.
So Tom, at this meeting, Lamprey Task Force meeting, what do you expect them to be requesting?
Well, Bob was asking me to look at the request is
what's the possibility of having Portland District follow suit and do what Wawa is doing? Just move it. And Bob would actually like to have that twice monthly. Right. So there are problems and pushback on that. I can't see why it would be. I just say, like, so our question is, what can Portland District do any checking of stuff?
Yeah, especially during peak Lamprey run. So.
Well, Portland District does.
What do you want to do for the data?
I mean,
What do you want to do?
Well, I think Bob's using it more for, like, he wants to do an off season to find out, like, are these fish moving other times of year just then when we see them at the sample bypass or something? We saw it in February a year or two ago, we saw hundreds of them.
Yeah, sure.
So it doesn't necessarily require all of them checked before you use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's multiple of these, just, like, just trying to plot our limited database on that. Are they moving and when they're moving?
And they're not necessarily the units that are run the most.
Right, but it'd be nice if the task force could come up with the questions they want to answer, then we can see if we can get a. Because going out and checking every screen on 26 units, I don't guess there's multiple ones.
It's kind of an odd sampling protocol or method.
Yeah, but if we don't have a better one, there is a better one. Let's do that.
There may be a lot better way of determining where the lamprey are moving.
Off
the day.
Dipping gateways is
a solution.
Yeah. But that's easier than doing this. I think probably is. I'm taking all those strainers on. Well, that's.
Get the net stuck down there.
There are problems. It's true. You've been there. I've been there too.
All right, well, you wrote it off, y'all. Thanks for this day right out here.
One thing I know that the Lamprey team in Wawa is looking at is, okay, kind of to get at your question, Scott. So what? Like, what are we doing with this? And certainly one thing that's just interesting with these data is we think this is probably our best monthly data source for juvenile lamprey passes that we have. So to get some baseline background information, as well as, you know, so you may jump in here, Sean. I know one concept was, you know, put some type of a deflector in the scroll case to deflect flow so that lamprey would be less likely to enter the cooling water intakes. You know, I have some concerns just because when we were talking about Ice Harbor where we had 700 lamprey. Well, on February 2nd, there were 701 lamprey found in the strainers. The Unit 2 had the most runtime with 453 hours. It had one juvenile lamprey. Where other units, like Turbine Unit 4, had 450 lamprey in it and only had 146 hours of runtime. And so, you know, coming up with a solution, you put a little deflector in. I'm not sure that solves the problem. But the lamprey team is looking at some potential solutions and not. Frankly, some of those I'm not entirely clear on.
Oh, yeah, and I don't know the details either. I just wanted to say that the point of the monitoring, as I understood it, was to get at, you know, which units are the most problematic. Is there any kind of pattern that we can see in the data? And the advantage of doing it biweekly or something would be to kind of hone in on that.
Okay. You might be finding in a month if it's a unit that runs all the time, they actually wash them off the grid. But they can deteriorate, get blown off because of the pressure on them.
Yeah,
they're on.
Right. That'd be good just to start with every project, like giving a one pager on exactly what the strainer is, with some pictures like we sent you here the other day, or hours it takes to look at it or whatever.
Right.
So yeah, the Portland District. Go ahead.
Well, that might be a good starting point. At least we know what we have to deal with if we do have a month or twice a month.
Maybe a CRFM funded research project instead of O&M?
I think if this becomes a significant effort with significant funds, it would likely be a CRFM funded.
Right. It sounds like it's going there pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's money in the library budget through CRFM for Wawa's efforts.
right now, Portland District, Tom put in a request about 2 weeks ago or something to Tammy, to, you know, asking about what Portland District was doing, what kind of inspections we were doing. And so Bob and Ben and Miro have been kind of doing some data gathering and trying to talk to the maintenance folks about how our systems work, how they're different or similar to what they have on the first.
Very useful.
Well, I guess we'll try to get something together for the next FPOM update and maybe give you an idea of what it takes to do that kind of work. What, you know, I think it's a good idea what you just said as far as putting together a little one page information sheet, fact sheet as a starter, and then we'll see what the library task group comes up with in the meantime. Any other comments, questions? Report the JFF transport status.
Yeah, just let people know. Some of this you already know, but Granite and Goose, you know, they continue transport operations through the end of October, and so that is now all transport operations are done for the year. All facilities except for Granite are in primary bypass with full flow pit detection. Obviously, because Granite doesn't have full flow pit detection, we're in secondary bypass there. So that's lower Granite's the only place where we have fish going over a separator anymore. I guess a couple summary numbers. In 2010, about 175,000 smolts were trucked, which you compare that to last year, and we're at like 43,000. So significantly more fish were trucked this year, like quite almost
the total.
Yeah, exactly 175,526.
Was part of that everyday trucking we did?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of that is because of, I would attribute that quadrupling of number of fish trucked to mainly the everyday transport that we did at McMurray, where we were.
I thought it was barn and one day trucking.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Normally at McNary we would have been barging those fish every other day. Instead, we barge every other day, and on the off day we trucked.
Can you protect those so we can do it in the ocean?
No,
sure. Of course not. Why would we do that?
So we don't plan on continuing that next year. We do not.
That's what we're going to be talking about, right? Any changes?
To do it or not to
do it? Should we continue it or should we not? Because we don't have any data, it's going to be a lovely session. We have any data.
There were 10 fish in the river, so I'm wondering if
I'm just not wondering if that's on nearly tagging up so low.
Yeah, it's mostly.
We're not smart enough to think about putting more tagging or anything like that. That's something useful. Probably do that.
Yeah, return rates on those fish, they don't do that time of year, so maybe even though there aren't many fish and not many tagged fish, you may have enough.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see how many tags they've got here. Because we'll have transport. Yeah.
Well, that was in August, so, right? It would have been early August, really, for that part of it, which the return rates aren't that great.
I guess it's later in September.
Really. It's later before they really jump up, and you wouldn't have enough fish to have probably good return rates to tag, just happenstance anyway. And by the time you got the results back, we're going to have a new bypass, or I'll fall, and we're going to be transporting anyway. So you'd be having.
But I think the other reason why there were more fish trucked is just, it is what it was. We had a pretty good year in September and October for number of juveniles.
It was, later
run last was.
Last month. So it wasn't just the McNair. That helped.
That helped, yeah. That change helped.
So. Overall for the season, for total number of barge fish in the season, it was about 7.5 million barge fish in 2010. 2009, we were at 8.6 million. 2007, we were at 5.3 million. So overall, recently an average year for a total number of barge fish.
When you start.
And so transport operations are now done. 7.4. Yeah, basically 7.5.
Tim, would there be a consideration if we do want to do it every day, just go to trucking every day?
and get away from the ability of barging. So that's way more expensive than trucking, isn't it?
It is. Are you talking about the Pitcairn area?
Yeah.
No, because the barge is already going downstream anyway.
It will be from the state.
That barge that stops at McNairy is coming down with Snake River fish loaded on it. So essentially, as long as we continue to transport those Snake River fish via barge, it's a free ride from McNairy.
Okay.
So that's it on juvenile fish transportation. Yeah, keep rolling here on
new fish pilot.
As you know, EB is retired.
And Gary Curtis is gone.
And Gary, congratulations.
Cool.
The promotion you've been looking for.
It is a promotion, too.
So, individual by the name of Carl Duggar is the new project biologist at McNairy. I believe he'll be at Fitter Week tomorrow, so get a chance to meet him. He had most of his career, I think a 30-year career in the state of Washington.
30 years since I've been back to work.
So he's retired. I'm
thinking. We comply with all laws. And so I think you'll get a chance to meet him tomorrow. But we thought too, since we have a hard time getting Washington folks here to consult through FPOM, we just figured we hire them.
He got Washington. So he was 30 years with Washington doing
mostly habitat work. He was the lead for their Washington's habitat.
So he wasn't on working on dams or anything.
He worked on a number of fish passage projects. Specifically which ones, I'm not sure, but he worked on a number of small-scale fish passage projects that they had. Certainly nothing like, McNairy and Mainstay.
Okay.
So
we'll have to train him.
That will be new. The last year and a half has been at Portland District in the regulatory branch of Portland District. We wrote a bunch of...
Yeah, he was on a term position there.
That what it was?
So he's not new to the Corps completely. Great guy, real, real easy going.
Responsible.
He should be. I don't know, he's got a lot of energy for somebody who's got 30 years. I think he's looking for money.
What does that mean exactly? Well, getting close. 26.
I can say that about you.
So, yeah, he came highly recommended from everyone who knew him from Portland District in Washington. So, anyway, we're looking forward to having him on board. He's already started. And so, hopefully...
We'll see him tomorrow.
Yeah, take a minute to say hi to him tomorrow.
We'll abuse him.
I know you will.
Take it easy on him in the beginning.
Bend him correctly, though.
So, next one is... Research updates, opportunity for any of the research managers like Sean for the district or...
I really don't have anything. Dennis did ask me to remind folks that the BGS is coming out, is it December 1st? So B1 will be priority at that point.
Okay, zebra mussel. Sounds like this Concordia year. Request that it's not a task group, but more of an update as needed, need to know type of thing, as we get more research or actually more information on zebra mussels and different techniques to deter them. One thing is we do have a invasive species coordinator that was just hired in Langsley, or actually in Joyce Casey Environmental Branch. Her name is Gretchen Volkel. So she's going to probably take a lot of the coordination away from you. I know you're going to be... She's new, so she's going to be our new point for invasives. She just got hired just two months ago, but just got assigned to this by the branch. So all invasives questions will be going to her from the district to the region to the projects.
Okay.
So this is kind of a
step in the right direction. She's gonna hopefully start working with you guys on what you're doing and vulnerability assessments at the projects. I think our next vulnerability assessment will be down in the valley at Dexter. That's really all I have on that.
Well, there is one more update too. We were looking into this Zephanox thing and trying to get approval through EQ and not getting anywhere on it. Our environmental compliance guy at the project heard that we were talking to DEQ and said, well, that's kind of my job, so he said, here you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's the only one that has one.
So make sure he closes the loop with Gretchen, because that'll be her responsibility.
Could you have Gretchen come back to us in this place?
Passing out the dead beaver and steelhead.
And Lonnie Mettler is your kind of
no beaver.
Art Sutlick, is that it?
Sutlick is just.
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
The main change is that Washington Shore is not coming out prior to the winter dewatering season.
Right, we know that. The couple of questions on that, I can find it. See, the south monolith, you're talking about doing some fabrication and installation of picket lead. Is that that's lamprey? Yeah, it's under South Monolith. Install. I see one here. Install 3/4 inch crowder picket lead at NOAA. That must be a lamprey.
Okay.
Figure out what all this is.
South Monolith.
Not dewater, but you get all this stuff here. What is this?
Okay, so this would be the main section of the ladder. So this main has to
section.
Be up around the camp station.
Sorry.
Not the South Monolith.
And then Bradford Island, the velocity meter, you guys took that out and we're reworking another. Are you going to replace that or are you going to put two in?
They built us a new one, so we have one to put back and one to put over. Hopefully, I think I put it between the south upstream and south downstream.
At the second powerhouse at Washington Shore. Okay, cool. Okay, let's take a look at that. Oh, and the last one I was wondering about was for the corner collector. Haven't heard anything about the surface condition of that. You know, we're having some trouble with concrete spalling and all kinds of other things.
Fix it again.
Same. Do the same fix.
Yep.
So that's on tap. Okay.
Have they done inspection already this year?
They did. Yeah. I don't think it was that bad.
All the stuff we did last year didn't just come out.
Pop off. No.
Good.
Yeah,
I was worried.
They're
going to
be back
into
similar small.
Okay, check. Okay, that's it.
All right, any other comments on that? Just bring them to our attention. The door shack update before you get there. We used to have RCC updates. They were somewhat valuable as far as when the forecast came. I used to give them. And actually, when I was in that position, I was the one that got basically this stuff coming to the that bomb every month.
It was neat.
But when we get into the forecast, it'd be good just to bring a forecast with you, just, you know, verbal, whatever it might be.
Percent of normal.
I'll follow up with you then to make sure I get.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be like, yeah, we had all these model runs and stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
They go like this.
Right. Specifically, I'll touch base with you if you'd like.
I just think it'd be good to bring that back just in this time of the year before between now and start spill type of thing.
Okay.
Fire away, door shed.
Okay. So, how's the barbecue? If you live in the Orofino community and you rely on that food bank, you look happy on the food the last couple of weeks.
I thought we're all into the prison.
Food bank and prison.
Food bank and prison, same thing.
And so, you know, there, I can provide a quick update. I think, in general, people will probably be fairly unimpressed, and not my update is not going to be all that informative. But basically, the bottom line is, you already know some of the basic facts. We had a mortality event that, you know, bottom line is the best numbers I got from the project were exactly 994 total mortalities. Of that, one of those was a false Chinook. The other 993 were steelhead mullets. 511 steelhead were handled and were still alive and released to the river. So if you take the total number of fish that were handled but still alive and released and add that to the total mortalities, that was a total number of 1,505 fish that were handled in this event. So again, mostly steelhead, all except for one. Part of why I'm a little limited right now is just the core is really concerned about what happened, yeah, and is launching a formal investigation to really get all the facts, because of that, I was really struggling to make sure I was getting all the facts. And so one thing that I can commit to you is, please know that the Corps is working on getting all the facts. We'll update you as we learn, but right now I don't have a lot of the details that I will be sharing with you in the future. I just have a couple of things I want to say, and I'll open it up. So the Corps is launching an internal investigation to get to the bottom of exactly what happened. NOAA law enforcement has been in contact with the Corps, and as you would expect, we're cooperating with that investigation, and so that is also ongoing. And I guess the last piece is, as we get more information, as we nail down exactly what happened and all the circumstances that came to play that were part of this, safe that you know, we'll use that information to develop a remediation plan. We'll bring that here. We're not going to finalize any remediation plan. We'll, on our own, we'll certainly bring that information here and work that through the regional coordination forum. And for me, that means bringing it here to FPOM.
I think
and
FPOM.
So you'll be involved in
FPOM should actually be involved in developing, I think, the well, to the extent that you can, the plan. And we did that, the same approach, when we had the fish kill at Chief Joseph Dam about 10 years ago or so. And we went through an investigation. The end result of that investigation was the appendix that's in the current plan for Chief Joseph Dam. And I would expect to have something similar for Dwarshak in there as the end result of all of this. Right? Regardless of what happens, the end result will be a new dewatering and salvage plan for Dwarshak Dam.
Gary, is that in there?
Yes.
For Chief Joe.
For Chief Joseph, it is. It should be for, I should have thought of that a long time ago, really. I mean, then I'm wondering about Hell's Canyon, too, right now, because all these terminal dams have potential for this to happen if they don't follow the dewatering, you know, regular, the procedures like we should. So I don't know what Dwarshak had, and I'm not going to ask that now because you guys are looking at that, but what we need to look at is what their procedures were, what did they actually do, and then what can they do in the future to avoid this, you know, and we know how to do it, but I don't know what the limitations are at Dwarshak. We only got 3 units. You know, time of year is an issue here, as well as the methods used to install stop logs, so.
Yeah.
We need to get to the bottom of that and have a process that keeps fish out, or at least allows us to get them out.
Yeah.
Gary, is there any value to us highlighting when seasons
are more important than others?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely. This is this was clearly an issue of the of overwintering steelhead in the North Fork, and you know they were just looking for a deep dark hole to hide in. That's what they found. Unfortunately, closed the door on.
How many do you think we have in there right now?
Oh, I don't. This year is a high. You know, we well, I don't know how far I want to go into this either. But you know, we've been looking at the impact. Of these are all listed fish. These are all listed fish, and so we're looking at the impact of the ESU, you know, and to the hatchery, and the production program there too. So there's, but it was a good year. So there were a lot of fish.
Tens of thousands that are in that section of the river right now.
A lot of fish.
And so we should kill some more. Also, but I mean, what does that mean? I mean, fortunately, we're having this problem because it means we have a lot of fish.
Well, yeah. That's a question because we've also heard that this is not the first time we've found fish.
Yeah, let's not go, so go down there.
As we get more information, we'll be.
Yeah, let's just resolve the issue. But I can tell you this, that the loss of these fish is not going to cause a problem for that ESU, that DPS, or whatever subgroup you want to call it. And for the hatchery, though, I don't know. You know, so that's something I haven't heard yet.
I haven't spoken with them either. I mean, in a normal season, 1,000 fish would represent 1/4 of their crude take. But this is not a normal year. There's right. Lots of fish. But you know, how many are going to survive over winter? I don't know.
Yeah, and you guys take fish all winter long, You know there'll be fish coming hatchery even in the spring.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be an impact. My gut, not official.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, from a hatchery standpoint, in talking to the hatchery manager, you know, they're not going to have a problem getting enough broodstock collected for the hatchery. That doesn't mean that it's less.
It's still a problem.
Nobody's
saying
that.
It's
not like we're gonna.
Decimate the hatchery.
It's a different
issue.
Decimate
the run. And the sea lion used to go to the food bank anyway, or the prisons. That was the normal protocol on the hatchery.
I don't know what.
That was, you know, when they were done with spawning those fish out. Yeah, they would go to the
prison. Yeah.
Somebody scan all those marks for tags.
No, they didn't.
No. Scale samples. There were the one thing that Tim did mention was there was I think 33 unclipped in there of all the 900 and some odd fish. Only 33 were unclipped. The rest were clipped. 33 or 34, something like that.
And it was 13 females.
Female,
13
male.
13 male. Yeah. Steelhead were unclipped, and then. Some of the fish were, an additional 8.
I heard it was 34, but we also anticipate that maybe up to half of those were hatchery origin fish as well. They just weren't clipped. So.
34.
How do you base that?
Talk to Richie.
Richie's magic number.
Yeah, that's what he came up with. So.
So, I mean, because this is, this is something that, as soon as our district leadership heard about it, everyone was, as you can imagine, very concerned. And so that's...
It doesn't look good.
Yeah, no one's content with this. So this is not okay. And so certainly I'll be bringing more information.
Well, I think this committee should be really central to the resolution of the issue, not the investigation, but once we get to that point.
It gives an indication that we need to step up our game for large numbers of fish in general throughout the system and have... things in place to
be careful. Yeah, things are changing.
Yeah, this isn't common to what we're normally used to having. So, what was a normal dewatering?
Yeah. Well, the thing about the time of the year that I want to know about is, you know, it's a triannual maintenance, which is that
once every 3 years.
3 years thing. So it's a fairly involved process, and you only have 3 units. This is the largest. I think this is the largest unit there, the 10K. So, you know, you really don't have a whole lot of choice when you can work on that unit. You can't do that.
You can't always do it. And so it's not uncommon to take it down when you're at 1 minute, minimum flow.
Right, and I see why. I mean, you don't want to do it any other way. So you're going to have, you're probably stuck with a situation where you're going to have steelhead that are starting to overwinter or in the process of overwintering. So their behaviors change. They're looking for places to hide rather than
just migrating on by. If they could, a door shed. Yeah, solutions
to so part of this investigation, we're going to come up with some recommendations that we'll bring to the FPOM.
Yeah.
Well, I think FPOM should be the place for that. Let's see what the procedures were, investigate what people did. What were the procedures followed, what were they supposed to follow. But this is the body that understands this problem, has dealt with it many, many times, and knows how to deal with it. So that's what I would say. Okay, here's what happened. Bring it to FPOM, and then have FPOM develop the remedial action.
Dewatering protocol.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Just as we did with
the door shed experts. I mean, I think there's going to be a trip there. Or,
cool.
I don't know.
One right. FPOM meeting right there for the fish fry.
Fish. Yeah, I know nothing about the door shed.
So what's that?
You said not many people know about the Moore Shack.
Well,
yeah. Except for the old timers.
So rest assured, this is not the last time you'll be hearing about this. We'll be bringing more information as we learn.
Yeah. Okay.
But I agree with you. This generally just because Bern and I co-chair at home. When there's an issue that I need to coordinate with the region, it comes here, and that's my plan.
This is a core process, so it ought to be. It seems right that this is the process. This is the forum for developing the remedial actions.
And so, I guess while I'm on a roll here, I might as well
fess up some more.
Bring everyone up to speed on an incident that happened yesterday. There was a power outage up at Orofino. Most power was out a lot of places in northern Idaho and eastern Washington. That included basically a 12-hour power outage at Dvorak Fish Hatchery. And in the process, there were, bottom line, 60,000 stealing from the hatchery.
Now we are in
So,
60,000, 1,000 wasn't enough.
So, the backup generators
just small. Yeah, well, on a roll, I just thought I'd run as well.
I thought the door shack over, didn't we have an incredible survival?
Yeah, so I guess to put this in context, our mitigation target is 2.1 million steelhead. That's the mitigation target for steelhead to be released in the spring.
So this is a thinning issue.
We're thinning out our bumper crop. And so we still have about 2.3 million on site. So usually by the time we get to November, our mortality events associated with disease drop off significantly. So I'm just telling you, I'm not telling you what's going to happen this year. I'm telling you what's happened in the years past. There has not been in the years past a significant disease outbreak that's occurred after November. And so there's still, like I said, about almost 2.3 million. On site, our target is 2.1. So we're still on track. This is significantly more fish that we have at Dvorak than we have this time last year. Last year at this time, we had less than 1.3 million. I know. So again, this is an issue that we had just, the reason why this happened, we had just replaced a backup generator. A year and a half ago, a backup generator died. We replaced it. And so that backup generator did its job. The problem is the hatchery have been really progressive. Fish and Wildlife Service is essentially the Corps contractor and doing O&M at the hatchery. And they've done a good job of rerouting some water supply and pipes so that we've been able to avoid a lot of our disease issues that we typically have. With these recent modifications. But in doing so, we've created, and this just came to our attention about a few weeks ago, about a month and a half ago, that that with these modifications, there now was a need for an additional and second backup generator. And so, if you look, we have a process where we're getting money for small cap projects. This was a project in a backup generator, a second backup generator, is one that's already in the works, it's moving through the system. As this thing just was highlighted as a result of these new changes to make good things happen for fish, we have a need for an additional generator. And so, this confirms that need.
Yeah.
I understand.
Okay.
So,
did we receive any power from the small generator on the line?
I don't believe so. I know exactly.
What if we can look into using that as a backup generator?
What was the cause for the power outage?
Wind.
It was a wind.
Yeah, it knocked. It was a huge.
Line knocked out.
Yeah,
mine down. Okay. Was it ice or something like that? It was just pure wind.
I don't.
You guys do a better job of these things up.
Means that
how much?
Like almost 100 mile per hour gusts. I know there was a small section of a feed building that lost a chunk of the roof at the hatchery. So I mean, it was a significant wind.
For this time of year, that seems pretty.
Yeah. Amazing. And so I was gone for a while. I'm pretty sure that our trampoline is now in our living room, so I'm waiting to go on the staff.
Oh, jeez.
It blew away last year. So all that to say,
don't go away again.
not a good couple of weeks for Dvorak, and I'll be keeping you up to speed as we move forward with this.
Okay.
Any other questions now on Dvorak?
Let's get the rest of the agenda.
Another quick.
Another B run.
You still have 2.3 million.
All right, let's keep going. Bond JSTEC testing. ULI has not submitted a new. I guess they're going to come up with a new study plan. We haven't received that yet. So
right.
The current study plan is not acceptable.
Yeah, they're putting together a cable system. And so what Kata's doing right now is working with Patel to get all the equipment that he needs. So I'd be surprised if that happens in the next few weeks.
All right, so... Is he going to be providing that to you?
Who's that? I'll provide it to me and then I'll give it. Okay. I'll write it to the group.
Of course, we all know Bonneville DSM-2 is no longer requested. Cross that out. Cross out 4.3. And 4.4 is the Dallas fish lock test.
Yep, that's happening right now.
Today.
Opened it up on Monday. They opened it up Monday and then he'll go through tomorrow. Let's just try to flush some of that debris out that is on the sill and we can't bulk it out. Let's flush it into the cul-de-sac and we'll keep it a close eye on it too, just to make sure that the fish are trying to do it.
Comments, questions? Alright, thanks. Fish count. We have three items on the fish count issues. And John and Robert are here for it. Guys want to step forward and talk?
Well, I'll start. I don't have to get over it. I think the first one was
rounding.
Rounding sockeye labor.
Okay. Yeah, the rounding can be really simple, but we've had a lot of inquiries from some agencies and some even internally from our own group saying, why don't these numbers add up? It's usually just by one or two, and we try to explain it there, but I mean, it's when and where you round these things. And you got to keep in mind these things are estimates. So there's also this deal when you have low numbers, you're always rounding, and it might tend to be a bias to be rounding down. But nonetheless, the point is there's times if you sum up some monthly or weekly, it won't agree with if you take every single day and sum it up that way. It's when you round it. Is that correct? So what we're just asking is, is it an issue? Actually, there's three options here. One, just ignore it. Just keep explaining to people that it's a rounding error. Two,
if we start putting another digit in there, decimal place, then maybe people will also understand that these aren't really estimates and not 100% accurate fish counts. And the third is we can come up with some elaborate systems to deal with that.
Let's keep it the way it has been.
Okay.
Say there's a rounding error.
Okay.
Because tenths of a fish will just generate other questions.
Yeah.
How do you get a 4/10 of a fish? Just the tail of it, too.
I mean, most of us will understand it. You're right. We get questions either way.
Yeah. I think there's this whole fish comes to say there's a rounding error and keep it the way it was because that's the way it's been.
All right. I just want to hear
you guys. So, sockeye and the snake.
Dave, is there somewhere in the reports that people are looking at that you could annotate?
We're going to again put that on the website, but you know, people start to ignore those little remarks and the notes.
But at least you're covered.
Yeah,
you're covered.
We can put it
when
up.
They ask, you can say, hey, check that.
Yeah. Someday we hope when we have all our free time, we're going to put a little report up there too on the whole fish counting process and all this stuff so people can read it and understand it at night and go to sleep.
When you when you start breaking down Chinook into clip and no clip, you'll see you have three columns, wild, hatchery, and total. Even if you're summarizing your daily counts, expanding it, so you have, you know, you're going to end up with your clip and no clip on days that will not total up to your total counts. And in the past, prior to separating those out, people really didn't realize that, and they started looking at hourly counts. So, well, in the past, when I was summarizing data for people using the clip data, I'd tell them, you're running a lot of data surrounding issues here. And our agency would be able to work with them forever, because they know they are an estimate.
Yeah. Good. All right. Sockeye, counting on the state. I'll let John take that.
Well, great. We may want to count sockeye clip, not clip, on the speed next year. Is that true?
Yeah, it was a recommendation last month that we separated the clip and the clip.
Whose recommendation was that? Mine?
Problem. No, it wasn't.
FX trying to figure out which ones are wild and which ones aren't.
I don't remember this from last month.
We talked about it a little bit. You said the ones that were the same ways to put down clips.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of the big report that you guys are getting that, hey, we found a sockeye. We got rid of that.
Yeah.
Would that be helpful to have the sockeye and clip and unclip information? That could be information that would be interesting, but it's like more about it. I was like, not really.
Especially since I remember seeing an email from someone at Idaho, Mike Peterson, I believe, earlier this year that said, I don't remember, but most of the sockeye that they're releasing from Idaho River hatcheries are unclipped. And so
going to lake. Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Tim, the other thing that spawned this was that every sockeye was supposed to have a paper written on it and faxed to you. And so you want to reproduce your fax.
Yeah, we did that.
I think we have that problem solved.
Right, so this is a different issue.
And this is the other thing, it's like, well, since we're not doing that, should we maybe think about clipping? Yeah, but, and then more or less, once we start getting more how they actually manage sockeye out there, we have to get mad. I would just double check with Idaho, make sure they don't care.
That's this isn't an FBOM recommendation.
If Idaho doesn't care, then I say don't do it.
We would just need some lead time, obviously.
Yeah.
Keyboards, we're around and all that.
So, we're making a paper on the get into contact Idaho, make sure I don't need separations. And as of right now, we're not going to do it. Unless they push it.
I'm right here.
The last one is lamprey counting. Since we already had a lot of requests, particularly from tribes, folks interested in lampreys, it's
start putting the LPS counts and nighttime video counts and stuff on the webpage. Again, it's making the database and the current query system just almost too cumbersome. So we're kind of proposing having an additional database and query system where we've got it spelled out, and it just basically adds it together because you've got so many LPSs here, Monumental, et cetera. So I think we're going to work on that. If you guys want to provide John some info on how you'd like to see that, feel free. But my other question would be, do you want us to keep the daily Lamper accounts as we have them now in the current database?
I like it.
I mean, it's an index. It's a more important index than the salmon because of all the reasons that we've got all these other accounts going on. But do you want us to keep that?
Yeah, they're good. It's going to be, as we progress and we start adding these other systems, it's going to, those numbers are going to be less and less
useful.
And that was one of the concerns about when we were looking at data counts this year.
And we can have it as part of this new database. It'll just be part of all that you add together to get a total Bonneville count.
That makes
sense. So you can look at it that way. I just wondered if somebody wants to keep it in the original one.
I'll check back.
Okay. Let us know on that. It's just a matter of every winter, John kind of tweaks the system and makes it a little bit better and getting everybody's input. So
he's got a lot of papers to go through. John does.
The 2010 Lamprey date count is not the same as it was in 2009 because people have leaves, and so some account or some Lamprey went under the leaves. So we've got two different kinds of Lamprey counts.
That's not very comparable.
There's an AFIP study that's trying to enumerate Lamprey passing through the leads. Is that right?
I'm sorry, what was that?
An AFIP study that was trying to enumerate number of Lamprey going through the picture.
Chris Carey is going to be. So we're doing a similar to what they were doing, playing around at John Day North the last couple of years, and expanding that and playing with some of the software that I think Wallapala is doing in testing as well. Yeah. So at typically it's at both the Dalles and both John Day count station. So the idea is we know we're missing a lot of fish that aren't going through the count slots. We don't have LPSs to count those fish. And especially with the numbers as bad as they've been the last couple of years, there's a lot of interest in better enumeration.
Will Chris be expanding that study for a while anyway?
That you'll have to talk with. Is I don't know if Derek's still on the phone.
No.
Okay. That was. I know there's a line item there for Wallapala to do this at a couple of the projects, but yeah, I don't know where that's going.
We're raising picket leads also.
Right.
You know. What do these counts represent? I'm wondering.
Okay.
Some task group updates. We had a meeting on the 4th of November. We had a SHAD, a TIES, and an AFF task group meeting. The SHAD fishery, what is it, Roger Dix Jr.? Came down and he didn't really have a position except that he was planning on continuing doing the same thing and follow the protocol, but wanted to talk to our policy people before we made any kind of decision.
That would be different than normal. Yeah.
What's that?
Before we made any kind of decision, that would be different from the status quo operation, like stopping.
So we need to, we're planning on convening that meeting in March, and in the meantime, Bob is going to get some numbers together and on our fallback data and send it out to Bob, and then we're going to meet in March.
And I did crunch some numbers. We have numbers from 02, 03, 07, and
RT
season. No.
You're looking at
this is just our fallback number.
Visual.
Yeah, at the conversation.
So you just, you know, can you put that
in this, some kind of a spreadsheet.
Yeah. In fact, I sent something to Tammy yesterday. I got it a little too late. But I'll need a little more time on it to actually define it a little better. So,
Bob, are we going to look at any of the RTE work? I mean, there was some that we talked about at the meeting, but there was some data out there that we hadn't looked at yet either. So,
I'll do
Chris
that.
Chris had brought up on the phone. Take a look at that, too.
Sorry.
I don't know where it's going to lead us. I mean, the final thing for me was that if they follow the protocol and they are in there for 2 days and they trip the fallback limits in 2 days and they're out of there, then they're out of there. It's a two-day hit for fish, but they have their chance.
So
as long as we follow the protocol, I guess I'm not too concerned about it.
Well, and it sounds like there needs to be more discussion, too, on kind of proposal of adding that to
their harvest takes.
Yeah, we can't really put a number on it.
I don't really want to go down that road.
No. Well, it would be nice, though, if we could. I mean, if we call it fallback take.
If you go that far,
harvest,
yeah.
That would be a cool thing.
That's a good point, yeah.
I could call harassment.
Well, it is harassment. It is take. There's no doubt about it. But is it harvest? Are the harvest opinions pretty? I don't know that. Simple.
For the ties update, which is the turbid intake extension screens here at Bonneville, House 2, Dennis Schwartz had a package that they put together and had Gene Foskey on the phone, and they talked about the FGE and the benefits, and after our discussion, we decided as a group that we could remove the ties and not put them in anymore, and it's our option if we want to scrap them or not. With the caveat that if we do not meet our performance standards, we will come back, revisit it, and probably come into a new redesign under the CRFM program.
I would, that bothered me a little bit when I read that in the notes. You're going to want to think about that a little bit, because if we don't meet standards next year, and one of the remedial actions is to put in these ties at test the next year, you can do them if they're still sitting on the, on the island over there. But if you scrap them and you have to rebuild, that's years. I don't know if people want to wait years for that, just for that. So it sounds like it would be good to at least leave them there for a year to do this, get this at least first year study, performance study done before you scrap them.
How long after the study do you get the results?
December or January, or November probably. Depends on if you're, well, for spring, these are just spring migrants that we're worried about here, so. Sooner, maybe. Yeah. August.
So it's coming out in the summer right now.
I'm hearing keep the ties on site.
It's really up to you guys. I don't care. I said take them out, but if you're keeping these on the site as a possible remedial action for meeting standards, then you probably don't want to scrap them right away. You may want to wait a year, at least to get 1 year of Bonneville performance measurements in your back pocket. If you meet the standards, 1 year, you likely will the second, and you're probably okay.
Then there's maybe a lead issue as well. It's not going to be until after the spring, though.
What issue was that?
May unit 11.
Until after the spring?
Right.
I'm hearing.
What?
God.
I saw an email from Dennis that said
he can build Apollo space rocket.
There is. He's
what is taking? You know what? Why don't you get two guys working on it instead of one?
You want to get the other one?
Well, not really.
Dennis, right here.
Yeah, right here. There's a light bulb. I've been really trying to stay in the know with the project manager on what's going on with that project. To be honest with you, the type of contract that the Corps had to enter in on this type of repair is been a kind of a sketchy contract, because it's a repair
contract that has very few limitations on schedule because the contractor has to tear into it and find out what the issues are. Now that the contractor is finally, who was awarded like last October, now he's getting in and he's finding what's specifically wrong with the unit, he can give the court a time frame. I'm not saying this is the best contract and the best way of doing things.
How many years has this been down?
Huh?
How many years has this been?
2.5 years. You're preaching to the choir on this one. So right now the schedule is to return back to the project to restack in June. And that's what I can tell you. I can tell you that project manager, Glenn Smith, Chief of Ops, everybody has been involved in this type of process. They're very frustrated with it. And they know the urgency of the region about performance testing. I told them about that.
It's your money.
Stuff. But that's
$15,000. So are you guys proposing with this new information to continue forward with performance tests?
Everything is led us. I mean, I've talked to Mike. I've talked to Brad. They know that. They know the time frames. We did testing last year. We met standards without 11. Almost criteria. So almost 11 was 11 was enough to stop performance testing. EGS is going to be out. Ties are out. We've got a lot of new conditions out there.
That's not going to help.
Yeah, none of that's going to help you. So good luck.
But it not works without it.
What?
It might work without
it. You barely made it last year. So you're going to bank on high flow, high survival, which is true.
All right.
We're just thinking that you add unit 11 in, you're going to even get a better bang for your buck. Yeah. So for meeting it without 11, you definitely meet it with 11.
Now, you didn't meet anything. It was a single release you didn't meet. Yeah. But you know, we suspect that you would if it was paired, but we don't have that. So
if there needs to be additional discussions about performance measures and testing like that, I'm sure Mike will entertain that. I'm just unfortunately the bearer of bad news.
Okay. Yeah, we'll consider killing the messenger along the way here.
Just stand like some for a
second. You might want to just.
GTS is coming out, the ties are coming out. We crazy.
So we will keep the ties on site more than likely.
You know, you guys roll the dice. It's up to you guys, really. No. But
they are subject to pretty harsh weather conditions out here.
Well, you're going
to
shrink wrap, right?
I think I'll just repaint that camel thing or something. Like, army guys in here.
Set them downtown Portland someplace and they'll get painted for you.
Quickly. Is that FPOM's recommendation then? To keep them on site for a year?
It's a recommendation to the Corps. That they need to think about it. It's not my recommendation. It's their decision. It's just, I'm just bringing the point up.
But we don't have to put them in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Alright, so that leads us to Bonneville slow roll coordination form attached. I don't know if you've read it, looked at it.
Well, we can discuss it with all the other FPP change forms. You don't need to jump.
If you want
to
go into that, you can go right ahead.
There's no need to jump out of it.
Upcoming meetings?
You saw the agenda right there.
Yes, this final coordination form has been written. So, or,
what are the numbers?
You
don't
think it's by hand, right?
Would you guys
want to
rip through these change forms?
No, I'm not going to. I'm out of here. Let's just do the final meetings. And these are going to have to. We're not going to do all these today, are we?
We don't have to.
I haven't looked at any of them yet.
You can review them at your leisure.
So then it's upcoming meetings.
But we need to get
out.
Let's, as far as the change forms go, though, let's. I mean, this is something that we can do on our own, but when do we want to make sure we get these
next meeting,
comments? Next meeting or before?
Yeah, by the next meeting should be fine.
Okay. And we'll have another load of them by then, so.
Who's that?
I do want to bring up one topic on the AFF.
You're reviewing and provide comments by next month. One comment
one,
here.
One AFF, going back to the task groups.
Sorry, I skipped over
the AFF. Yeah, there's quite a bit to happen there. The next meeting we'll have probably a meeting after FPOM to talk more about AFF operation, but we've been working on this a bit in our office, and just an update, we're seeing lower conversion rates to McNary Dam for tag fish, for fish that are tagged at Bonneville Dam when temperatures exceed, it's mid-July when temperatures are exceeding about 66, 67 degrees, than for fish that pass Bonneville Dam pre-tagged. In other words, we're comparing apples to apples. Those rates are anywhere from 14 to 34% lower. So it's causing us a lot of concern. We have some people working on it to kind of polish up the analysis, but probably put a change form in. And that change form will be to cut off sampling at some temperature that's suggested by the data. So you may want to get let Jeff know and we can't ignore it, and I don't think you guys want to ignore it either. So it will be granite as well. We're just looking at Bonneville data right now, and it's kind of hard to follow fish above granite, but I think you just apply the same logic.
Yeah,
it would be applied both, and I think 70 is still the temperature. The other change of that is FPOM will be our location for developing limits for temperature for our permit process. So that temperature that's in the current Section 10 permit, that limitation at 70 is going to go away. And what the Protected Resources Division has told me is that they will look to us to develop that temperature limitation. So, but these data are going to be part of the initial shot from us anyway. It's like, we do see a difference. It's substantial, and I don't know how you explain it away. So we'll have to talk about that.
To come out in the next couple weeks?
Blaine Belrudes, the person in our office who's working on it, he's doing a bunch of other things, so I hope he can get it done in the next month, before the next meeting.
We saw that's a request about from Dave Close to get temperature data for Bonneville. Tammy, were you on that? Tammy,
Ben,
and I?
Yeah.
Did he get all that? Okay.
What species was he seeing most days? Chinook.
Yeah, he's still... He hasn't looked at steelhead yet or any of the other species, so it's just Chinook so far. It's just an issue that I think we all have to deal with. And as far as the change form goes, and the timing and all this, it's just we just have to get the analysis done.
Right.
If I throw a change form out there and just say because I think it's a great idea, it's not going to carry much. So the analysis has to be attached to it. And I would expect Critic probably or somebody else to want to reanalyze or cross reference verification. Yeah.
Do you
have
a time about that?
It's good use of Pythagoras.
Okay, we have one other thing regarding the fish package.
We do. Okay, what is it?
The dates for the fish passage plan, I know last meeting we said the agency comments will be due the 20th of December. Doug has gotten the latest versions of all the sections on the website, and the website is on your agenda, so go to that website for the documents that we want you to comment on. We need to set a meeting for discussing the fish passage plan. Right now it's tentatively scheduled for the 21st of January. Because that's about the same time that we did it in past years, but it's more of a placeholder than an actual date.
So
I believe it's a Friday.
Hey Dave, do you guys check the calendars for the 21st and make sure it's open in January?
Are you at the week before?
This is a...
That's the week of Erdick.
Week before. It's Friday the week before Erdick, which I don't know, you guys...
What date did you say? The
21 of January.
Yeah, Erdick is the 24th.
24th through the 28th, but I don't know how many people want to...
Yeah, the Erdick trip. What about the 20th?
Well, what is this?
I would back it up. FPP meeting, so it's going to be fairly involved and probably should be a lot.
The 20th would be the SCT meeting. That's the third Thursday.
Oh, is it?
Right, Bill?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good point. 19 is probably
TV. I'm open on the 21st.
Huh? So am I, but you want to have a full day? A lot of people are.
Friday, we're Friday.
It's a short day for me, and I will leave.
Where do you think we'll have it?
3 o'clock.
Where?
West Rick. Actually, there's my echoes.
Yeah, it's not a good meeting for it, or a good meeting.
Well, we have it at Noah.
We can get a room.
The acoustics there are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. If we can get a room.
They know.
And we just need the PowerPoint.
Can you guys handle that, or do you want to go? Propose a different date.
Yeah, January Walla Walla, not likely.
We can hold up.
We'll let you know.
We can get now with a smile.
We can always break up the Portland and Walla Walla sections.
That's
yeah. Some of us have to be in both.
Well, we need the new section as soon as you guys are able to get it.
Okay. So FPP meeting on the 21st.
Can we do Walla Walla's first so we can hit the road?
Sure. Not if you're going to take all day on Little Goose, though. That's not acceptable.
Just the first one.
You won't be able to say much because you haven't gotten there yet. So
are you going to come over the night before?
Well, do you want
to... let him pocket
so
all
we can start earlier than 10?
Yeah.
No do you want to wait until after your Erdick trip?
Start at 8:30.
That might not be a bad idea because there is a lot.
Because you'll be changing it.
Because we're usually reading the
how about February 4th?
I don't
know. So that meeting will start at 8:30.
We can do it on the 3rd.
What's
the 3rd? Does February 4th, is that
the 1st?
Is it too late?
Good for people or not?
Really?
Maybe. That would at least give it, because I think there will be some new change forms coming out after our Erdick trip. I mean, we can bring that to the February FPOM, but if the purpose is to nail down the FPP,
I think we have to do it earlier.
How much time do you think you'll need for the Little Goose item in particular? That may be better to do in a regular FPOM, because it takes an hour or two. That takes almost too much of your FPP time.
It takes too much of FPOM.
Right, but if you want to get all of our FPP, the rest of it done in one meeting, right? That one is a what, third or quarter of the meeting.
Yeah.
So
we'll do all FPP things except for Little Goose, Bill?
On the 21st.
On the 21st?
February 4th is Friday,
is that right? No. So everyone note that December 20th, you must have your comments in to Doug and I so that we can get them into the section so we have a final draft for you to discuss at the meeting on the 21st.
And just a reminder, too, when you forget that date, you put a deadlines link on this new website. So when you forget that date, you can click on the top. It'll give folks a reminder when, what to do, and et cetera. And if you can't find it, another reminder, the normal URL for 2010, you'd assume that you would just type in 2011. That's a good assumption. Just make sure you do / changes at the end of that. And I think that is that hyperlink put in the...
It's in the agenda,
so
yeah.
So just follow, I just encourage you to follow that link. I was assuming we'd get some comments like, I can't find it online, where is it? So click on the agenda for the URL.
So,
comments on Walla Walla District Police Center. You need the comments also.
Can the Little Goose part of this wait until the Walla Walla Federal Week, which is in February 23rd, 24th?
I don't
anticipate. I mean, it shouldn't take that long. If we have a form that's ready to go,
I'm saying if you do it on the at Fairwig meeting Walla Walla, then the guy everybody will be out there. They don't have to travel someplace.
Well, now Doug
and we don't have
time
to travel
to get
on the floor.
It printed, because this thing goes into effect March 1st, and we would like to have a final copy for the projects to be able to start using March 1st. Fish passage season starts March 1st.
At one project.
Well, that's the project that sets the schedule.
No, sorry.
That's when we have always tried to have that document out.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to get I don't think Bill wants to travel up to Walla Walla on the 4th of February.
No, I'm not.
So, yeah. I'm just thinking if we could have it at the same time we're already there. That's all.
We'll try. We'll be there January 21st. And then if there's a... Well, when we get a Little Goose change form, I'll... Right now, I plan to bring that just to the regularly scheduled FCOM in February, and it shouldn't be an hour long discussion.
That'll work.
It should be but none of these shit.
The team at our Friday meeting, or FCP,
so you're saying that we all of us not interested should skip that FCOM? Okay.
You should be able to give us a better update when we come together on the PP change form.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something you just mail out.
Yeah.
If you all agree at Erdic, you can just mail it out.
Not
at Erdic.
Not at
Erdic. I would anticipate McNary ESPS deployment date to be similar to what we did this year. And so just, you're not going to, you may not see a change form on that, but that's what's currently in the FPP. So just, fair warning that
that's
the path that I'm assuming we're on right now.
We're grudgingly agreeing.
We've had discussions about that.
Don't want to have I don't want that to be all of a sudden copied up the river and copy paste. No. In fact, if you're going to push that, then we'll bring Mary back on the table.
Something else I'd like to mention here, just so people are aware of it. At a recent TNT meeting, we were informed that Bargers and the city of Lewiston and Clarkston are all pushing real hard to have a Plus One operation next year above Granite, so that they can get their barges loaded safely to get all the grain out and get the cruise ships loaded without anybody falling overboard, and blah, 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 blah. And so we were informed about this and told that it's an upcoming issue. Those of us on FPAC and those that represent our agencies at TNT from the fisheries side are not real happy with the situation. And so I'm not sure what's going to transpire, but... that's on the horizon as an operation for this coming year.
It's not to get more grain out, it's to get out what they should be able to
do. In the shortened time, to get more grain out in the shortened period of time.
He said it wasn't. It was to get out what they're allowed, what the depth of channel is filling in, and so they can't load the barges.
Right. They've got a set amount of grain, and if they fill them to the capacity that allowed them to without dredging, they're going to take too much time to get all that grain downriver before the next year's crop comes in.
Right. The Corps is supposed to have a 14-foot channel. It doesn't have it now. So they're having to put less in the barge.
So the issue of dredging was brought up, and they said, well, we don't have enough money. And so there's some issues there, and there's some unhappy people, and I'm not sure where it's going, but I just wanted people to be aware that that is an operational scenario that is on the horizon in some people's minds.
So you expect an SOR being submitted from the barkers?
Don't know. This was just brought up recently and said, well, we don't have to deal with it right now. We just wanted to let you know.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So the Corps is considering what to do with it.
I understand, yeah. But I just wanted this group to know that we're not going to be at MOP necessarily.
Well, I think it's in the biological opinion,
isn't it? To be
a MOP? Yeah. So this doesn't have to be re-consoled.
It's also back in the FW. It's also in their safe navigation.
So it's not
It's not black and white. The mop is the exact number.
Safe navigation is, let's not go down that road. Safe navigation is incumbent upon the Corps and the people who run the businesses. And I don't know if the Corps pays for the dredging at these commercial sites, but these people said they didn't have the money. So it sounds like it's their responsibility.
Well, in the port, it's their responsibility. In the dredging channels, the Corps.
Right, okay, channel, so in the ports.
And the channel was having a problem too, they were saying. They had a half mile that they were having dragged bottom.
Well.
And so it's a more complex issue, but like I said, heads up, it's out there kicking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Bill's right. I mean, if it's in the biop, there's going to have to be some...
But it's also covered in under safety and other things. It's only covered in safety and your pathway. We've gone to Mopolis 1 and Mopolis 2. We have navigation safety.
Well, so, a little more water will speed those fish on down the river, so I guess
really
that's the compensation.
He's really understanding.
Yeah, he's not very understanding.
Yeah,
you're going to do what?
Yeah.